I'm Henry Glasheen, Digital Content Coordinator for Slug, and you're listening to Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, covering music, arts, lifestyle, and events. In this episode, we'll be chatting with the Beer Professor about his work in local brews. The Beer Professor is the moniker of college professor Bob Trewartha. His day job has him at Broadview University teaching communications, business, and ethics, but in his spare time, he is an award-winning home brewer. The professor promotes responsibility in being well-educated in the intricacies of home brewing to help create the best beers and not allow items to go to waste. Most recently, he helped host the VIP Lounge at the Utah Beer Festival, where he introduced people to some of the higher point and fine-crafted brews coming out of local breweries, paired with specific food items. Slug writer Amanda Rock sat down with Trewartha to talk throughout this episode about local brewing, the ins and outs, and what he's been doing to promote home brews.
What makes you a professor of beer?
The beer professor moniker came a couple different ways. I've been a college instructor for about 20 years, and I've got a number of friends of mine that over the years I've really enjoyed good beer and different types of beer and make my own beer, and they just kind of started calling me the beer professor. So I ran with it a little bit. I am in the beginning stages of becoming a Cicerone as well, but a lot of it is just experience and application. So a combination of having a few beers over the course of the last 30 years, but really trying to search for those really good quality beers out there. So kind of summarizes it anyway.
Excellent. Well, let's talk more about becoming a, how do you pronounce it, Cicerone?
Cicerone. It's basically the beer's version of the wine sommelier.
I'm probably sommelier.
I always butcher that one. But the Cicerone is it's three stages that you kind of work your way towards becoming an expert in different taste profiles, understanding the nuances between a farmhouse ale, for example, and a saison. They're really in the same family, but there's a very small difference. A big part of it is actually learning off flavors. So, for example, if a beer becomes oxidized, it winds up with too much oxygen during the brewing process, then it can get an off flavor and to be able to distinctly pick out what those flavors are. Now, I will admit at this particular time and space, I have a pretty good understanding, but there's people that can, just one little sip and they can tell that this is exactly what happened to this beer. I'm kind of getting there, but at the same time, one of the joys of it is you get to sample a lot of beer.
I bet.
So that's certainly a benefit, although some of it is not particularly good beer, because you want to figure out what's wrong with it. So when you're brewing it yourself, or if you're advising other people, that you can tell those differences, those different nuances, and so forth.
So is there a test at the end?
There is. There's several tests. So there's kind of three stages as you work your way towards that. I've kind of started studying for the first test. I hope to take it sometime this winter. And then the second level, which is much more arduous, it's been suggested by some folks that have done that, that you really want to spend probably half a year studying for it. So, it's very specific and very detailed, which, again, from a understanding those different aspects of what goes into a beer in order to really make a beer everything it's supposed to be, and then understanding those different styles. I think all of us have beers that we really enjoy and ones that we're not, huge fans of. And one of my challenges has been trying a lot of beers that I have not normally been my favorites, but I'm finding that I actually do like a lot of different beers that I didn't think I did.
Oh, that's fun.
So there's kind of a benefit with that as well.
Sounds like it. So where does this learning take place, and where do the testings take place?
The testings, the first level is on online testing process. They have different places around the country that they offer the tests. I know that Epic Brewing brought them here. They had enough people to actually take the tests maybe 2 years ago now, but they were able to get them to come here and administer the test. I know there's one in San Diego, San Francisco, and Chicago over the course of the next year or so. So it's really, it's international. I know there's one in London. That's not in the budget. So we'll maybe see about San Francisco or Chicago. But
nice.
And again, I've still got a little bit of research and, and knowledge gathering before I get to that point. But
that sounds like fun. I'm sure you brew at home, right?
I do. I have several different beers that I've done many different times that I'd kind of look at as my mainstays. I've got a barley wine, which has won several awards, and Wyoming took second place in the national semifinals. It's taken a silver here in the Utah Beehive competition, and then it also won a couple golds in a couple other smaller ones. I love barley wines, so it was one of the things that I really kind of wanted to make. And it's called Hairy Belly Bob's.
Nice.
Which my wife named. We're just not going to go too far into that. But at the same time, it kind of fits the beer. It's like 11%. And I do an oak chip, bourbon oak chip, part of the fermentation, kind of dry hop with the oak chips that are soaked in bourbon. So it gives it kind of like a bourbon cask flavor.
That sounds delicious.
It would be nice if I had the facilities to actually have a big bourbon cask, but we have to make do with what we can, and that's kind of a way to make that happen. I do a couple IPAs and kind of a dark lager I call Ales of November. Kind of like Gales of November, but Ales of November. And then a couple stouts.
Nice.
Imperial stouts.
I like stouts.
A lot of flavor.
A lot of flavor. Deep, good flavor. So you're in Utah.
I grew up in Minnesota, and Minnesota is kind of a liberal state, and Utah's not.
We are not.
but at least there's the home brewing was taking place. I moved here about 7 years ago, which is about when they legalized home brewing.
Coincidence?
So yeah, maybe so. I brought a wave of excitement of
tasty
home brewing.
Beer.
Yes. Yeah, I've been here about 7 years. Kind of came out as part of helping open some schools and some teaching and public relations that goes along with the rest of that. Honestly, I love the state. I mean, I really enjoy hiking in the mountains, and I used to ski, but now I fall down more than I ski, which is not as fun as it used to be. So pretty rare, but at the same token, the outdoors activities that are available. And really, one of the things that I don't think a lot of people realize is there really is a underground beer scene here in Utah. There's some awesome breweries. I mean, whether we're talking about Uinta or Epic, Red Rock, Squatters Wasatch has some great beers. Two Row, which is a new brewery out of Midvale, has got some excellent beers. So I think whenever people are pushed a little bit to not do something or be kind of told that that's taboo, they're going to say, wait a minute, let's do something special here. And they really have. I mean, I've got, again, friends back in Minnesota and out east, and they get Uinta and Epic out there, and they look for it, you know, as something special. So
let's talk about why Utah beer scene has exploded in the past few years.
Sure.
You've been here, what, 7 years, so I think that you've seen the the boom of our beer scene.
Absolutely. It's part of it is simply the rising tide of craft beer across the country. I mean, that's maybe the base of a little bit of that intense interest and excitement about craft beer and good beers. But I would also say that there's places like the Beer Hive and the Bayou, the Beer Bar, other places, obviously the brew pubs, but a lot of the other smaller bars are carrying really good beers. Especially the Bayou and the Beer Hive in particular have hundreds of really good beers for people to try. And when my friends come in town, we have to take a trip to the Beer Hive and see what's new. You know, just by having places like that where people congregate, they demand more different and exciting offerings. And as a result, I think the local breweries are seeing that and saying, in order to be competitive, in order to really keep people excited and keep them buying beers from Utah, they're coming up with new flavors and new things that are just super tasty. I'd like to say it's because the laws are becoming more normalized, but we still have a fair way to go, I think, until we are similar to most states around the country. Ours aren't actually the strictest in the country, but they're pretty close to the top of the list. And you know, even when I first came out here, one of the things that that kind of shocked me at first was that you had to have a membership to go to a bar.
That was weird.
And I was here for work, and I went to go get a beer, and I was like, "You got a membership?" I'm like, "Membership? What is this, like a code thing or something? Or what's going on?" And, "Hey, Joe, do you mind sponsoring this guy?" "Yeah, he looks all right. We'll sponsor him." So I'm not sure what kind of shenanigans that was all about, but bottom line was, you know, obviously that has changed. I would love to see more tap beers at a higher alcohol content, more because there are certain styles that simply can't be brewed at 3.2% alcohol. It just, you know, whether it's 4% by volume or whatever the magic number is, even a really good IPA is difficult. But certainly an Imperial Stout or barley wine or a Belgian, many styles simply can't be brewed that way.
So what are some unique beers that have come out of Utah that have caught your eye and your taste buds?
Well, Hairy Belly Bob is I'd like to think it's a model of the Cockeyed Cooper from Uinta. Mm-hmm. Part of their crooked branch of beers that they have. That's always been one of my personal favorites. And it's a little pricey, but it's if you're looking for something with an immense amount of flavor and a unique style, again, barley wines are relatively unique compared to other beers. That's a particularly good one.
Can you talk about the flavor on that a little bit more?
Sure. The barley wines tend to be a little sweeter. There's a little higher alcohol content than most beers. It's usually around 10%. I think the Cockeyed Cooper's actually like 11%. So there's a little bit more of a bite with that sweetness. It's similar in a hop profile. There's American barley wines, and then there's English barley wines, and then there's another category that kind of falls into the same general area called an old ale. And they're a little bit different in terms of the amount of hops and malt. American barley wines have more hops. They're more hop forward. So it's going to be a little more bitter, but still sweet with kind of a warmness with the alcohol content. In some ways, this is probably not the best example, but some people might be able to relate to when you have a double IPA like a Hop Rising. It's like a Hop Rising that's a little bit sweeter and a little bit stronger, and a little bit less hops.
That sounds good. I'm sold.
It's tasty. It's good for you. So
that's right.
The you know, there's a lot of really good IPAs that come out of Utah. I mean, I mentioned Hop Rising, which is one of the standards. Elefino is a great beer from Red Rock. That's a very flavorful IPA. IPAs tend to be probably the most bitter, certainly hop forward style of beer, generally speaking. You can have an Imperial Red that's also pretty hoppy, but not going to be the same as a double IPA in particular. The Double Detour from Uinta is also another. If you haven't tried any one of those three beers, you must not like beer. I mean, that's, you got to get out there and try those. Those are comparable to just about anything nationwide.
Nice. Well, speaking of nationwide, what have you heard about Utah's beers from people outside Utah?
We've got family and in a place that'll hopefully be a retirement location in Florida. And when we travel out there, a lot of people initially are like, "Utah? Does Utah even have beer?" Like, are you kidding me? And they do sell some of the Uinta and Epic products there. So I believe Epic has just now come into the state, but I know Uinta, and I don't know if Squatters is in Florida, but I know that several people that I've talked to there have tried those beers and compare them to Cigar City, which is a big brewery out of Tampa, pretty famous. Dogfish Head, which is one of the more famous craft breweries, and that's up in Delaware, but they're all throughout Florida. And Double Detour in particular, there was a group of us that sampled that. It was called the World of Beer. It's kind of a franchise type of play. Not as cool as the Beer Hive, but they do have a lot of beers. And they all agreed it was on par, if not better, than Dogfish and Cigar City. So
nice.
So I think there's certainly a respect when people try it. There's a perception, again, by those that are unaware or haven't had it, that Utah? But again, I would argue with anybody there. We can stand shoulder to shoulder with anybody, for that matter.
Oh, great.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie!
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel.
We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook.
For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie!
So let's talk about food.
Ooh, I love food.
I love food, too.
Getting kind of hungry, too.
Yeah, so let's talk about how beer pairs with food. So if I'm going to eat a large cheesy pepperoni pizza, mm-hmm. what kind of beer do I want to go with that?
One of the things about pairings, I think, up front is important to understand is people do have just preferences on the type of food that they like. And somebody might love a jambalaya, for example, and somebody else might be like, I am touching jambalaya. Now, pepperoni pizza, that's pretty universal. I think usually spicier foods go with the more bitter, hoppier beers, like a Hop Rising or a Double Detour or an IPA. I would argue that with a pepperoni pizza, something that's got a fair amount of cheese and is a substantial type of a meal, I would probably go more with a lager or with maybe a Pilsner, something a little bit lighter but still with some flavor that can kind of marry the sauce and the pepperoni and the kind of the cheese that comes, again, a little bit heavier than just having a piece of a pastry or something like that.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
It does.
Something that maybe is, again, that's not too heavy. Where, again, if you went on the other side with something like a pecan pie, one of my favorite pairings with a local beer is Epic's Big Bad Baptist, which is, you can't even really call it an imperial stout. It's kind of a black ale, but it is so incredibly tasty. Now, it's so rich that the combination of that and a pecan pie, it is definitely rich. But you get an imperial stout or one of those types of beers, it's going to go more with your dessert type of offering.
I'm going to try that.
That's, well, I love pecan pie and I love the Big Bad Baptist, and when I had them together, I almost started to cry. It was beautiful.
It was a beautiful moment. You know so much about beer. How do people get your knowledge? Like, how do people find you? Where are you?
Well, on Facebook, The Beer Professor. I also have a website that's in development right now, which will be thebeerprofessor.net. And I do a number of blog posts that you can find. It's Googling The Beer Professor, but the best way is probably through the Facebook page right now. I do have an email, beer.professor@yahoo.com, which I do some private tastings and so forth. Right now I've got a every Monday gig up at Park City's Marriott, the vacation club. And they kind of fun is that they have people come from all over the country. I've only had one person from Utah in the last year. Basically show off Utah beers, and they love it. I also sneak some of my home brews in there.
Really?
That's I hope that's not against the rules. But they sample a few of those as well to get some feedback, and that's been a lot of fun. But do private parties for beer tasting and that type of thing. At the Utah Beer Festival, I emceed, kind of hosted the VIP area.
Nice.
And I'm hoping to do that again next year. But we had 8 different Utah breweries come in, and then each one talked a little bit about the beer that they brought and interviewed them to talk about, you know, the different nuances of the beers they brought. And people had a great time. My only drawback is I really wasn't able to drink very much beer.
Oh, that's
but you know what? I'm sacrificed for the people. That's what I'll do. So, but yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun. It honestly started a little bit as kind of a lark, and I've had an opportunity to meet a lot of really cool people. I should mention on YouTube as well. I've got probably 15 different videos on YouTube. That did a episode at the Bohemian, and there's a lot of video of stuff from the Utah Beer Festival and Pie and Beer Day over at the beer bar and some other stuff. Just interviews with local brewers and people, just people talking about beer, you know. I know I'm kind of a beer nerd. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but I know I'm not alone. So
you're not. You're in good company.
Absolutely.
Thanks for listening to Slug Soundwaves. For all things Slug Magazine, visit slugmag.com. Send us suggestions of what you'd like to hear on the show by emailing us at soundwaves@slugmag.com or hit us up at Twitter at Slug Soundwaves. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Christian Schultz, John Ford, and myself, Henry Glasheen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our show's main theme was performed by Temples. Our main logo and art design was by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design was by Kate Colgan. Next week, we'll be sharing a pair of interviews from Eat Local Week. Thanks for listening.